So last week, we began our sermon series on the book of Acts. We were in Acts chapter 1 and 2 last week. If you didn't receive one of these last week, we do have more of these available if you need a bookmark. Also, as part of our sermon series on the book of Acts, we have a reading plan that's going to be going for the next 8 weeks. And so if you don't have one of these, raise your hand. I think someone can help you find one. If anybody needs it. If not, you can always grab one there in the entryway as well. And so we talked about last week that Jesus told the disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait, and I think maybe I acknowledge, maybe some of you did too, that waiting isn't always easy. Waiting can be hard, and especially when we don't know how long we're supposed to wait. And so we understood that Jesus told the apostles to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. They all spoke with other tongues, and that they spoke in tongues that they did not know, but there were people from all over the known world there in Jerusalem that heard these tongues and heard them singing the praises of God and glorifying God together. And so we also talked about the way we respond to the message of the gospel is by repenting and wanting to be baptized. And so that is the call for us as we respond to the message of the gospel is to repent and to be baptized. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be a devoted community of Christians, devoted community of Christ. And so this is a chance for us to really look at ourselves, look at this church, and ask God, who are you calling us to be? Who are you calling us to be in 2026? Will you join me in prayer? God, we are grateful for you, grateful for your presence that is with us, grateful for the Holy Spirit that moves and speaks into our hearts. So this morning, as I share from your word, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. May our hearts be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's look at Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read in verse 41. Says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So imagine for yourselves for a moment that we're there, and overnight we had 3,000 people in this building. Some of you are like, man, that'd be awesome. Others are like, what are you talking about? And for me, I started thinking through the logistics of it. I'm like, okay, now what? How do you disciple effectively 3,000 people? How do you get 3,000 people connected to the life of the church? How do you get 3,000 people connected into a small group or a Bible study or a Sunday school class? How do you get them where they're serving and part of the body of Christ? Like, that's a lot. Well, that's what the disciples went through. All of a sudden, they go from 120 to over 3,000. Literally in a matter of hours. And so they had to figure out, who are they going to be? They have this multi-generational, multicultural, because you know the people are from multiple languages and tribes and tongues, are all of a sudden together saying, all right, Jesus is Lord. I've confessed, I've repented, I've been baptized, now what? And so the apostles got to deal with that and figure out what does it look like? Well, Frank read in Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to four things. To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so that's what they decided to devote themselves to, was to those four things. Those were the core of who they were called to be. Those were the core foundational aspects of the church, was the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And I would submit to you this morning that that is who us as Riverstone Church, who are we are called to be as well. Devoted to those same things, the apostles' teaching. Unlike them, we have it written down for us in multiple languages available. The fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So you may be asking, okay, we've got the apostles' teaching written down, but they didn't have the apostles' teaching written down for them. So what were they teaching? Well, they were teaching a few things. One was teaching the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophecies foretold of Jesus coming. They foretold of what Jesus was going to do on earth. They foretold of Jesus' birth, of his resurrection. They foretold of what he was doing. So they took them back to the Old Testament and said, here is proof that Jesus was fully God and fully man, and that the prophecy foretold and the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament is the Messiah who came in the form of Jesus Christ. So that was kind of an important foundational thing, especially for those who are the Jewish faith. They wanted to see this guy that we're talking about, this Jesus, is he really the one that the prophets foretold in the Bible, the one that they were waiting for? The other thing that they talked about was they taught what Jesus had taught them. All right, I'm going to be a little bit of a cynic here for a second. Who has really good memory? I'll be honest, I am trying to learn names. My wife is much better at it than I am, and so it takes me a long time to try to remember names. And even I'll look at someone, and I'm like, I think I know their name, but I'm not sure. If you've ever been seen court cases on TV, they always have these expert witnesses. So they have an expert witness who comes out and is like, that's the person, they're guilty. How do you know? I saw them. Well, studies have been done by scientists trying to figure out, expert witness, is it reliable? I mean, can we rely on expert witnesses? Well, unfortunately, it's been proven time and time again that expert witnesses can be influenced and unfortunately can't always be very reliable. And so then the question comes, all right, so you've got these apostles that were expert witnesses to Jesus and his teaching that then are now trying to teach these 3,000 plus people. What? Follow along for me for a second. Some of you may be wondering, where is he going with this? So we look in John chapter 14, and we see what Jesus told the apostles. John chapter 14, verse 25. It'll be up on the screen for you. It says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So there's our answer right there. There's our answer is that when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, one of the things that the Holy Spirit did was to bring to their memory, helping them to remember all the things that Jesus taught them over those 3 years. And so the apostles' teaching was divinely inspired, the Holy Spirit speaking through them, helping them to remember those things that are hard to remember, those things that are difficult to remember. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to teach the 3,000 plus people that had said yes to Jesus Christ. How amazing is that? I wish I could have that type of memory. See, the people could be confident in the apostles' teaching because they can be confident in the one who sent them. And we, over 2,000 years later, can be confident in the apostles' teaching and the truth of the Bible because we're confident in the one who wrote it. If we truly believe God is who he is, the one who created all things, who created the world and the universe, the one who offers a path of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ, then we believe God's word. We believe the Bible. And so we're called to dedicate ourselves to the apostles' teaching. For us today, that is spending time reading God's word. That's spending time meditating on God's word, spending time in Bible study, in fellowship with those around us. That is how we dedicate ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The Bible says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." We can't hide it if we don't read it. We can't know God's word if we don't spend time reading and learning about God's word. So they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Be honest, what do you think of when you hear the word fellowship? Food? Good Methodist? People? Sharing? Relationship? Connections. Say that again. Gathering. The word. Communion. Community. Support. Common goals. So all those things are important. All those things are the fellowship. Those are the things they dedicated themselves. It was living life outside of where you're at now. And so more than just Sunday morning, more than just what we're doing right now, the fellowship is gathering of people outside of Sunday mornings in homes, in coffee shops, in places where they can be caring for each other, loving for each other, where they can spend time gathering around each other. I'm going to share a story that I'll probably share lots of times while I'm here. In 2024, Ginger was involved in a very severe car accident. She was unconscious at the site, had to be taken by ambulance to the hospital. Spent a week in the emergency room, broke over 7 bones in her body. Is that right, 7? Broke over 7 bones in her body, and I get the phone call that I need to go to the hospital not knowing anything. I wasn't told her condition, didn't know her prognosis or what it looked like. Well, for us, our world stopped at that moment. But the rest of the world kept going on. Our kids still had to get to school. There were still things that needed to be done around the house. There were things that needed to be done at work. There were still lots of things that happened were going on. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit before that. Ginger and I were part of a small group at our church that we started. We were part of it for probably 3-4 years before the accident. One of the things that we had done, well, I say we, it really was my wife's idea initially. Ginger's family has a ranch in Texas, and so she invited all the ladies out to the ranch, and they spent a long weekend there just hanging out, being with each other, cooking, and no agenda, and just building relationships and getting to know each other. Well, I got jealous. I'll speak for myself. I am not always very good as a male about getting to know other men. and spending time with other men and building relationships with other men. And so I said, well, I'm going to bring a guys group out to the ranch, and we're going to spend time and have a weekend away. That was over 3 years ago that we had our first guys trip to the ranch, and we did it a few times after that. But those are some of the most pivotal moments in my life and built relationships with those men that we are lifelong, we're connected for life. So when Ginger's accident happened, even though the rest of the world kept going on, those who were part of our fellowship, they were connected with us, they were part of the body of Christ with us, surrounded us in that moment and took on burdens for us that we didn't know that we had. They reached out to us, they lifted us up when we couldn't lift ourselves up. They did things for us that we didn't know that we needed done, because that is what we're called to do as the fellowship, as the body of Christ. The Bible says when one mourns, we mourn together. When we rejoice together. We're to care and share each other's burdens. But we can't care and share each other's burdens if we're not willing to spend time getting to know the person that's right next to us, the people that are around us. We have to spend time with them, getting to know them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hear this, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, fellowship is mentioned all throughout the Bible, especially throughout the New Testament. We're called to be with each other, connect with each other. Can I be honest with you? In 2026, life can get in the way. We have these things that I intentionally keep in my office on Sunday called cell phones that keep us distracted. This thing called social media that, yeah, it's social media, it's something. That can be good, it can be bad. We have all these things that are like, well, I want to hang out with them or spend time with them, but I got to do this other thing. We have all these things that can get in the way of us being together and gathering together. But the Bible says, don't neglect gathering with each other. There's always going to be something that's going to be more important. But are we willing to lift each other up and care for each other? Are we willing to be there with each other, to support each other? And knowing that by your simple act of kindness, your simple act of love, you may change a person's day and have an impact on their life that you don't even know what they were going through. They also dedicated themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, the breaking of bread is an interesting one, and one, as I was looking through this, can mean a few different things. Honestly, at first I was like, oh, breaking bread, they ate together. I mean, this is where we get, we have a potluck here once a quarter. Like, this is where we get, you know, our eating together on Sunday mornings is here. This passage said breaking of bread. Like, we break bread together. There's always bread in some form or fashion. And so this is it. Well, it actually isn't what I thought it was. The breaking of bread there, and you'll see it in multiple passages in the Bible, is actually referring to communion or the Lord's Supper. We look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 33 through 34. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. So we see this reference in Acts chapter 2 is talking about the Lord's Supper, about communion. You can also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 29, talks more about breaking of bread, about the act of communion. Now, communion in the early church was more than just what we do on the first Sunday of the month. It was an entire meal that they came together in a celebration of just the Lord's Supper. Coming together and acknowledging the reality that Jesus freely gave his life for us and asked us to remember the sacrifice that he made for us. And so when they broke the bread, when they drank the wine, they remembered the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They knew that they were lost without Jesus, and if it were not for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, they would be lost and could do nothing. And so they spent time together remembering and celebrating the sacrifice of Jesus Christ through the act of breaking of bread through communion. And then they dedicated themselves to prayer. As we look throughout the Gospels, we see over and over examples and stories of Jesus spending time in the wilderness by himself in prayer. We read throughout that Jesus, when the disciples couldn't cast out a demon out of a man's son, Jesus said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. See, prayer is an important foundational part of the life of the church. We're called to be in communion with God, to speak to God, to spend time praying to God. Jesus gave us that example of what it means to be a people of prayer. We are called to be a people that call on the name of God. A people that are willing to pray and lift up those around us, to lift up our concerns, to lift up those in our stead, those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Growing up, I grew up in the church, and I kind of joked that my parents dragged me to church all the time. My parents were not pastors, but they had a lot of friends that were. And they had a lot of friends from a lot of different churches. And so anytime the doors of a church was open, we were there. And so whether I wanted to be there or not, and so whether I had homework to do, because I magically always had homework when I needed to go, or whether I was tired, they didn't care, I was there. And so over and over and over, they dragged me to prayer meetings, and whether at someone's home or at a church, and watching my parents spending hours and hours and hours praying and interceding and seeking after God and asking God for help. It's amazing, as I got older and became an adult, I started seeking after those opportunities, those people who I could spend time praying with. Those people who felt a call in a heart to pray for those around us, who said, God has called me to be a person of prayer, called me to be a people of prayer. I want to come together, no agenda, but just spending time praying together. Seeking after God, seeking God, and say, God, we need you to move in our life. God, we need you to move in our church. God, we need you to move in our city. God, we need you. It's amazing the things that sometimes you neglect or think you're being dragged to, and then God's like, no, this is an important part of your life. We are called to be a people of prayer, people who seek after God. We're going to have a chance to do that as a church body. On Wednesday, January 28th, we're having a night of prayer and worship. Starts at 6 o'clock. Just a night and a time for us to come and intercede and asking God, who is God calling us to be? What is God up to in this church? What is God up to in this community? And how do we spend time seeking Him and seeking His face? And so we'll have a time to do that together as a church body and just spending time in prayer together. Acts 2. 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the result is not that they added to their numbers, but God added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Can I tell you something, and it may be a shock to some of you, it may be a relief to others. We're not called to save anybody. Only God can save people. We are called to witness. We are called to share the love of Jesus Christ. We're called to share the gospel and the truth of the gospel message with them, and the Holy Spirit is the one who moves in their hearts, who draws people to Himself. He is the one that saves. We can't save anybody. Can I tell you, when I found that out, it was a big relief for me. Because I know that as long as I'm being faithful to God and faithful to what He calls me to do, I give it up to God. I release my hands and say, God, have your way. So we see in the early church that the people repented. They turned to God. They turned and said, God, have your way. Lord, move in our life. They dedicated themselves, and God moved. Question for us as a church body. When people look at us, we're out shopping or driving or working or communicating, whatever the things that we're doing throughout the day, do they see Jesus Christ in us? Are we a people that have dedicated ourselves to those four things that people can see Jesus Christ in us? Will you pray with me? Father God, we come before you, lifting our hearts to you, lifting our lives to you. And we say, Lord, have your way in our life. Help us to be a people that dedicate our lives, ourselves to you. A people who spend time in your word, who spend time building relationships with those around us, who understand the importance of celebrating communion, and who spend time in prayer. Father, we are grateful to you. Grateful for how you speak in our lives. Grateful for the clarity you provide to us. And grateful for how we can surrender to you. Who has all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I've got a couple invitations for you. We're starting a prayer team here at Riverstone Church. If you are someone that said, I have been looking for what you're talking about, for a group that is dedicated to praying over this church, to praying over the people of this church, to praying for our community, and you say, that is me, like I feel God calling me to be a person of prayer, a person that's dedicated to prayer, I'm going to pass this around, and I don't know if it'll make a round during this song, and so it'll be there in the back, you can find me. But I want to hear from you as we surround this church with prayer. Someone joked with me. They said, well, I know you're going to bring hundreds of people to the church once you start. God will bring people to this church, but we have to be a people who are devoted to prayer. We have to be a people that are seeking after the heart of God first and not our own agenda. The other invitation I'm going to give this morning is maybe during this message, you said, you know what? I have not really been that great of a brother or sister in Christ. I talk about people behind their backs. I'm mean to them. I'm not kind to my neighbors. If someone were to look at me, they would not say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ because I don't act like it. I'm going to invite you to come down. I'd love to pray for you and pray over you, knowing that God is the one that can change our hearts. God is the one that can soften our hearts. God is the one that we surrender to. And if none of those things are you, just want to come and spend time praying, the altar is open. So as we sing this next song, we invite you to stand. Respond to Jesus. Respond to God however He is calling you.